Christian or a pagan or any of those. You see, out here they're kind of dug in, but in there they're exposed. They feel perfectly at home and comfortable to be able to worship out in public. It's so awesome, though, to watch them feel the presence of the Lord. Literally, as God moved into the place, you could see His countenance change. First, He got very agitated. Then He started to question brothers that were standing around. And by the time service was over, He literally just had tears flowing from His eyes. I believe he had never been in the presence of God before. I can't wait to talk to Him. I was hoping to see Him today. He was avoiding me. I don't think He knew exactly what to do with what He got last night. But we have story after story after story just like that right there. As a matter of fact, just about 30 minutes south of here, there's more than 5 prisons. There's 16,000 souls incarcerated, not 30 minutes drive from here. As a matter of fact, 30 minutes drive and 10 minutes walk, and you will literally be looking them in the eye. So as we go throughout this Thanksgiving holiday, one of the reasons why we came down is so that we could go into one of those prisons down here. Keep us in your prayers. One of these days when I come back, I want to set up our tables so I can show you all of the things that we've taken, that people used to use to worship, and now they worship one God. They're baptized in Jesus' name, and they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it's a collection that keeps growing and growing and growing. It's literally, you know, they get to give up their stuff for a real live relationship with God. Amen. Well, what a time we have to be able to meet the day before Thanksgiving. Amen. Or how about we just meet and start giving thanks now? Would that be all right? I'm not going to stray too far away. I had this message prepared when I came last time, but the boss showed up and I didn't get to preach it. Amen. So I guess now you get to hear it. It was the right message, just wrong time. Amen. But that's all right. If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Ezra. I think I've stumbled upon a great Thanksgiving reminder. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. Amen. When you get there, say amen. Amen. We got the off-the-wall scriptures. I'm not used to this. We don't have this in prison. Amen. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Amen. You can be seated. I want to point out just a few things before I get into the real meat of this message of Thanksgiving. Amen. I know Cyrus is a funny one to start with when you talk about giving thanks. But first off, you need to understand that Cyrus was a historical figure. He was literally the king of Persia at its height. He was also known as Cyrus the Great. Cyrus had conquered everyone. Every kingdom within his grasp, he had conquered. His father had started it off for him, and he rallied the armies. He came together, and he conquered everyone, including the most powerful, the most prestigious, the richest kingdom in the whole world at the time. He took Babylon. The significance of this is that it happened in the year 536 BC. It's recorded in the history books, not only in our Bibles, but you can go to museums like the Smithsonian. You can see Cyrus the Great. When he conquered Babylon, it was significant to our faith because Babylon had carried away the children of Israel. God's people had been carried away and put in captivity for 70 years in Babylon. Then comes Cyrus. He conquers Babylon, and the first thing he does is he says that the Lord has given him all these countries into his hand. This was a pagan king. This was a polytheistic king. He did not believe in just one God. He did not believe that there was just one God. He worshipped several gods. But when he encountered the one true God, he understood that there was a God. He didn't say one of the gods. He didn't say the God so-and-so. He didn't have to stipulate which one any longer because he started to understand who gave him the power, who had allowed him to conquer everything, and furthermore, he understood whose people he had under him. He said, "The Lord." I believe that Cyrus had a change of heart when he encountered the Lord. Amen. Can anybody testify to that tonight? Has anyone met the Lord in this place? Amen. But see, there's something funny about this story. If you'll go to Isaiah, the 45th chapter, you will see Cyrus's name. It says, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect. I have even called thee by thy name, I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me." Now that's a good promise from God. Any historians in here wouldn't be caught by what I'm fixing to say. But you see, when Isaiah prophesied this, when the Lord spoke through Isaiah, it was in the 8th century B.C. If you do the math, that was 150 years before Cyrus was ever born. Before the redemption of Israel was even born. Before he was ever even named by his pagan mother and his pagan father, God had already sent Israel's deliverance. Amen. Amen. I came to tell you tonight that deliverance is on the way. Deliverance has already been promised in this house tonight. There's been several promises made to this very church. I've stood here time and time again for 9 years and heard prophecies. I've heard, oh, hallelujah. And I'm seeing it, and there's a whole lot more to see. Amen. Don't get caught up in looking around today. I yesterday had the opportunity to visit with some Jewish people. I have a unique job. I was sitting at my desk one day. I had a Muslim imam on the phone. That means the high priest. I had a Muslim imam on the phone. I had a Messianic Jew sitting in the chair in front of me, listening to the conversation, and I had a pagan and a Satanist waiting at the door to come in. You talk about multi-denominational. I'm sorry, interdenominational. Man, I don't know how to chop them up. I don't know how to do all of that. But the one thing that they always want to talk to me about is they're always having spiritual problems. And the funny thing is they think that I can fix their spiritual problem. They want to talk about the inconsistencies in their faith. And I'm the last one that they really want to talk to, because I can really go on about the inconsistencies in their faith. If a Muslim comes to me and says, I'm having some problem believing, I say, I do too, because your God Allah said that the sun sets in a puddle at night. Y'all know that doesn't happen, right? Okay, y'all don't leave me hanging like that, man. Trying to solicit a response here. Y'all got to work with me. Hey, amen. I'm going back to prison. Man. See, I'm the last one that they want to talk to. Because if they come to me, I already know the God. I know the God, the Lord. Amen? I always laugh because I got like my inner circle now. We got some guys that are filled with the Holy Ghost and don't mind standing around and praying after church and talking in tongues for 30, 40 minutes after they done said we got to get out of there and all kind of stuff. So, one of my favorite things to say to them is when they say, well, you know, you got a pagan out here. I'm like, ooh, wait till he gets a load of this. Send him in. Amen. Because it's easy. It's easy to talk to them about God when you know the one true God. It's easy to fix their problems because their problems are that they have placed their faith in something that's not working for them. It's easy to take someone who's polytheistic, they believe in bunches of gods, and point them to the one true God. When they see the truth, it registers. It always rings true. But you see, I'm sitting here yesterday and I'm talking to a Messianic Jew. That's a Jewish person. Actually, hang on, let me back up. That's a Christian that believes in Jesus but has adopted the Jewish law. See, you don't have to actually be a Jew to be a Messianic Jew. That took me a while to get to. Because you know what you call a Jew that converts and believes in Jesus? A Christian. Come on. I mean, the first Christians were Jews, right? Yeah, alright, so alright, now you're up to speed with who I'm talking to. This is a person who has been exposed to the truth and then has literally gotten away from the truth and went back to the law and said, you know, I believe in salvation, I believe in all of this, but I believe that I have to go back and blow the shofar and wear the tallith, you know, the prayer shawl with the little zitzit. I had to learn all these words, man. I'm bringing some next time I come so y'all can see them. But they have all this stuff, and they go back under the law. And she was literally so depressed because this year the world ends. Oh, y'all didn't know that. Okay, this year the world ends. According to the Jews. The Messianic Jews. She was so distraught. She was just hanging her head. She's at her wit's end. She's fortified her house. They bought generators and whatever else. I don't know. They have MREs, which are nasty meals. I think I'd rather kill something than eat it. But you see, she's made preparations for the end of the world. I believe in my heart that what the saddest thing that we Christians can do is forget the promise that was given so long ago. You know, God already provided the answer for Israel in Cyrus 150 years before he was born, 80 years before they went into captivity. That's a lifetime. That's forever. For me, I'm only half of 80. That's two of me waiting to get to this guy named Cyrus. God has already got the answer. We as Christians cannot forget this. We have more promises than even Israel had, because we have promises of our own in the New Testament and all the promises that went to them, because we're yoked with them. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget that you have a promise. And the best way that we can do that, the best way that we can remember it, is to always, always, always be in thanksgiving, be in praise. We don't have to hang our head and pray about how the UN is going to vote over Israel. We don't have to watch CNN and to determine how we're going to live our life tomorrow, amen. I don't have to worry about if a president on some European board makes a decision, because my God has not changed. The strategy, the story, everything in this book is being played out just as God intended it. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. And I'm not going to pull my hair out about it. That's on the global scale. What about on your household scale? Aren't there some promises over your household? Aren't there some things that we do enjoy in Thanksgiving? See, I love preaching about this because I preach in prison. Don't nobody have a wallet. So I'm kind of nervous preaching this tonight. Y'all might think I'm collecting money. But don't we have some things that we do? Don't we give cheerfully to the Lord? Don't we provide out of the first fruits? Amen. If we do this, we understand that there's a blessing that goes with that. Now, I'm not one of these people that believes that you break off 10% and God's going to give you a Cadillac. Because I just worked up to Ford. I'm going to stick with Ford. That's a oil change cost $90. Cadillac costs $150. I'm staying with Ford. Amen. That's what I've been told. I can't afford a Cadillac. They don't even look at me in the service department. I pull my truck up and they tell me that you go down there. We have some promises in our life. As a matter of fact, there was a little prophet named Joel that prophesied about a Savior to come. He said, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days I will pour out my Spirit." Amen. What was he talking about? Well, you want to find out? Go to Acts chapter 1. You'll hear a man named Jesus talking about a few things. He tells some people to wait for the promise of the Father. "Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Why would he bother to tell us that the Holy Ghost was coming? Why would he bother to prophesy, to put it to us that the Holy Ghost was coming? Well, let me show you. If you go down to verse 7, he said, it's not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. He said, it's not for you to fret and worry about. It's not for you to put your mind on the times. He wasn't just talking to them in that day. He's talking to you today. You don't have to worry about today. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. You don't have to worry about the situation coming up. Because it says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall become... Oh, hallelujah. Anybody got the Holy Ghost in here tonight? Then let me tell you something. You have power to overcome. You don't have to worry about anything. So instead of worrying, why don't we take that energy and just place our hands up and say, thank you, God. Why don't we stand on our feet and just start talking to Him a little bit? Why don't we just start to praise Him? You know, we ought to wake up every morning and when we put our feet on the floor, say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Because you didn't promise me today, oh Lord, but you did promise me that in today I'll have power. Because you woke me up, I got power now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. If we are ever going to be effective in our lives, if we're ever going to make it through all of this, it's literally by reminding ourselves daily through praise and in thanksgiving. In this time of thanksgiving, we can do no better than to do just what we're doing right now. As a matter of fact, I think it's funny that when we give thanks, nowadays about the only thanks we give is around the table. It's kind of like the story about the two boys running from the bull. And one of them says, man, we ain't going to make it. And the other one says, you think we ought to pray? And he said, brother, I don't know how to pray. And he said, well, I only know but one prayer. And so the old boy tells him, well, let's try anything. So he drops down and he says, Lord, thank you for what we're about to receive. Amen. That is not a good time for Thanksgiving. Maybe if he'd have prayed a little more. Maybe. I don't know the two old boys. I don't even know that it's true. It's probably not. Amen. Do you get where I'm going with this? Amen. Maybe it's just a concept that an old prison preacher gets every now and then. Maybe it's just a concept that you get when you've been slam dunked in life and God picked you up out of the mire. Maybe it's just a concept that you get when you have to go through things. Or maybe if we got it before we went through things, we wouldn't have to worry about going through things. Amen. Maybe if we just started to praise right now and not worry about what was going to happen tomorrow, when what does happen tomorrow, when it comes our way, we're already praising for it. Amen. I'm not telling that you have to go around just praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Car hit you. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying that. As a matter of fact, I've had some questions with God about this. I fasted for 3 days. Lord, I worship you. I praise you. I just want to serve you. I just want you to... I'm talking to God about it. I'm talking to Him just like this. I'm saying, Lord, I just want to serve you. I just want to do something for you. But you got to change my situation. You got to pull me out of where I'm at. And on the third day of a 3-day fast, right before I'm going to get off my horse, put my inmates up, and go eat, he parked an 1,100-pound horse on top of me at about 40 miles an hour. Now, if you've ever seen anything parked at 40 miles an hour, you understand that it don't stay that way, and neither do you. I broke my ribs. I tore my knee up. I broke my clavicle and my scapula, and I tore all my tendons out, and I shoved my cowboy hat down almost to my chin, and it gave me a headache for about a month straight. And so I'm laying on the couch, and I'm saying, Lord, if this is my answer, I'm not sure if I asked the right question. Amen. Yeah, can I rephrase that, please? Matter of fact, if we'll go back, I'll just not ask it. Just forget I said anything. Oh, after about 2 days of laying there, I just decided, you know what, God, this is my answer. And I don't know what my answer is yet, because obviously I'm not the kind of person that you can drop a horse on and I'll get it. Just don't go to a piano or a car or anything heavier. Just, if you'll just tell me, I'm listening now. You got my attention. I started just praising Him. I just started saying, you know what? Thank you, God. Because I asked for my situation to change. And now it's completely different. You know, I was having to get up and go to work, and that job was causing me trouble, and I ain't even got to get up and fix cereal now. Matter of fact, I can't get up and get cereal. And it hurts too bad I ain't getting up. In fact, I'll just lay here until she gets up. Amen. Early noon. But you know, I just started praising Him. I said, God, you know what? My situation is different. And out of that came the most beautiful things. It really did. The prison ministry took off. Man, I not only did I get to go during the week, I got to go on the weekends now. I could go when I should have been at work, and I was still making a state paycheck. I was getting to go in the prison. I was going like this, but I was going. Y'all remember it? I was walking around with the big thing on my arm. As a matter of fact, if you'll remember, one day I got to take it off standing right there because a little girl prayed for me. She came over. You remember this?
Yeah.
A little girl came over. And it was Sunday school. And she prayed for me. And the pain went away. Now, I hadn't been taking my painkillers because I didn't like the way they made me feel. Because I'm an old junkie. I am. I can't mess with dope. I can't do it. Even when I'm supposed to now, I done messed that up. I proved I wasn't no good at it. I did. So I just had to hurt. I got a family. I got kids. Even my dog likes me now. So y'all laughing. Y'all don't know what it's like for your wife and your kids and the dog to get in the car and leave.
Come on now.
I'm calling the dog. It's getting in the car. I said, come on. The dog's like, I'm out of here. But a little girl, I got healed. So I started praising the Lord. And so the pain went away, and I could lift it a little bit. So I went to prison, and I told them about it. And they started praying. And so when they prayed, I just took the sling off and threw it in the pulpit, and I didn't put it on no more. But hang on. I did put it on one last time, and that was to go see my doctor, because I didn't want to hear him yelling at me about not wearing my sling. And then when I left the doctor, this is awesome. I went to go talk to the doctor, and I had my sling on, and he examined my arm. He said, why are you wearing a sling? I said, I hadn't been wearing a sling. I just wore the sling because I didn't want you yelling at me. He said, don't wear the sling no more. He said, your arm's fine. As a matter of fact, amen. He started calling some people in. He called in another person. And they got all these funky little instruments and put me in precarious positions with my arm. And you know what they found out? That I can move this arm 10% better than I can move this arm. You see, the answer was already there. God already knew the girl's name. He had already filled her with the Holy Ghost in my Sunday school class. That was awesome. That was, I got to watch her get the Holy Ghost, then she get to watch me get healed.
Come on.
You see, if I'd have just started giving thanks then, I wouldn't have worried quite as much. I was worried and fretting, will I ever use my arm again? I wasn't mad at God. I was just worried. I'm kind of partial to my arm. I only got two of them. I mean, it was my left arm. I can't use it for anything. I'm not a girl, so I can't just cock it and put a purse on it. I'm going to get in trouble, ain't I? I was going to say something like throwing like a... No, I better... Leave it right there. Amen. My counsel says don't go there. Amen. That's what the Bible says, seek wise counsel. I did that. Amen. I know we're laughing and joking a little bit, and this is a lighthearted message. But the fact of the matter is my Bible tells me that the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes, hallelujah. That's
right. My Bible also tells me that He inhabits the praise of His people.
Yes.
You know, I got to see some real Jewish people pray, and it's the funniest thing, man, because they're praying and they're doing like this, and then when they get to clapping, it's the funniest thing. It's like a clap, and then they get to clapping, and then they readjust after clapping like that. And the whole time they're praising God and they're just yelling, and you're like, man, if you did that in America, you're out of there. But this is God's chosen people. These are the people that still have the same promise over them. This is a people who are surrounded by their enemies and have been since 1945. These are the people who should have been destroyed in 1947, but God just stopped tanks in the desert. He stopped vehicles that were in the atmosphere that they were designed to be in, and He just stopped them. These are the people who God called out. These are the people whose ancestors knew that there was an answer coming 150 years before it got there. Wouldn't you clap like an idiot too? Wouldn't you clap crazy if you knew a God who just when He looked at you, you were the apple of His eye? Well, good. Start clapping that way. Amen.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
That's the power that comes with the Holy Ghost. People always think it's power to heal, power to prophesy. Yeah, that's the power, but it's literally the power to make it through every day. It's the power to stick it out. You know, the problem with this Christian life is it's literally just so daily. Every hour, you have to live it. You can't just lay it down and come back and pick it up. You have to live it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, when the boss shorts you on Friday. Oh, y'all work for him too? Cool. Amen. That's the power that we have. It's the power to overcome each and every situation. It's the power to be able to look at a situation and live through it. It's not always easy. When I was about 9 years old, I walked past my mother's bedroom and I saw her crying. It wasn't that I saw her crying. She was just torn down. She wasn't hurt. She was praying. She was literally giving everything she had before God. And she was calling out each and every one of our names. She was calling out my name and my sister's names and my brother's names. And she was just calling out to God. And I remember her saying this, "If you can't save my children, just take me. I don't want to live if my children aren't living for you. I will do whatever it takes, God. Please save my children." I all but forgot about that prayer. Every now and then I would think about it. To me, that's just how moms prayed. How many times have you heard preachers stand up here and tell you about a praying mother like that? You know what? It should be all of us. Because all of us should be so fortunate to have a mother that prays like that. If you're a mother, pray for your children like that. But I'm going to tell you something, that God has given you power. Amen? Now, you may not like this next part, but understand that I'm watching it being lived out. About 3 years ago, I was on my way to Tyler. I was in my truck, and I'm in prayer. And I started praying. And I started praying for my mother like she prayed for me. And I got into the Spirit of the Lord. I started rejoicing. And then my rejoicing started turning into something a lot more powerful. It started turning into God speaking to me. You see, I had started to thank Him and I started to praise Him, and He opened up the windows and showed me what He was doing in my life. He actually showed me something that I thought harmed me for a little while. It was a burden for me for a little while. As God started dealing with me, He started telling me that He was taking my mother's memory. That He was going to strike her to where she wouldn't know any of us. She wouldn't even know her own children. That she was going to go through some things that were going to be very, very sorrowful. That they were going to be hard for her. They were going to be hard on the family. I didn't want to go talk to my mom. You see, God put something in my heart. He showed me something that I was going to have to go and tell my mother. She was already starting to show the signs of it. She had already gone to the doctor and he'd already told her. She had the prognosis. She didn't want to face it. I went to her house and we were there for, I think, all day. I kept wanting to tell her, but I just couldn't. We redid her whole kitchen. We painted it. We had a great time. She stayed up talking to me till the wee hours of the morning. Finally, I mustered up the strength to tell her. I said, "Mama, God has heard your prayers. Mama, God has heard you." As a matter of fact, the other day, I was in the truck and God spoke to me and He started telling me some things. There were some things that you prayed for and you were very sorrowful for. There were some things that when you thought about, you gave Him praise for. There were some things that you had sent forth in prayer and He's answered that prayer. But it's through striking you, Mama. As a matter of fact, God said that He was going to strike you with this, and He has. But it's to answer your prayer. Suddenly something that was so scary to her. She had literally just been crying, telling me how she didn't want there to be a day when she wouldn't know my name. I told her that it was because God was going to use it to touch her children who are lost. You see, myself and my sister are the only two of the five that are living for God. I have a sister that right now, this very moment, it's likely that she has a needle sticking in her arm. The reason why I say this is because it's that time of year. It's the holiday season. It's when everybody's having a good time. It's when drinking is rampant, drug use is rampant. You got time off to go clubbing and partying. It's everywhere. Everybody's in a good mood. So even if you can't afford drugs, a lot of times, this time of year, people will give them to you. I know that she's there now. I'm not rejoicing in that. I have a brother whom I'm sure right now is in a club doing what he's done for the last 30 years. I have a sister, my next oldest sister. I don't know where she's at tonight. I hope that she's not drinking or driving, because she can't take another one. I hope that she's not doing drugs, because if she gets popped one more time, she's going to prison. You see, that is what God gave her the strength for. God sent message to her saying, I heard your prayer. I'm answering your prayer. I've already sent the answer long before. Even back when you were praying it, I already knew how I was going to answer it. Now this one's bittersweet, I know. But when I talked to her, she started to praise God. She started to worship. She started to give thanks. And I guarantee you, as it progressed further on, she knew and she was strengthened by the fact that God is allowing this to happen to answer my prayer. That's the power that comes with the Holy Ghost. That's the power that we were promised. That's the power that we can get through things. It's nice to be able to shout on the mountaintop, but it's even better to be able to shout in the valley. It's nice to be able to shout when everything is going well, but I'm telling you, when times get hard, it's even better to be able to praise then. Amen. I don't know what anybody is going through here. I hope nobody's going through anything. But that would just be unnatural. So I'm here to tell you, God has heard your cry. God sees your situation. And He's already formulated the answer. All you need do is apply yourself. Amen. You see, there's something funny about this. There was plenty of opportunities for it to go wrong. Cyrus could have said, you know what? I sure did do all of this. And that would have spoiled it. But see, Cyrus had to understand who he was and where his power came from. It would have been easy for the children of Israel to say, you know what, Cyrus? We appreciate it. But, you know, we were out for 400 years, and then we went back, and that wasn't so good. And to be real honest with you, we kind of missed the leeks and the onions. No, thank you. That would have been easy. I mean, think about what they had to go through. When they went back to rebuild the temple, they literally had a tool in one hand and a sword in the other. You know, it was no easy task. But they did it. What task do you have tonight? What have you been tasked with? I don't know if it's a situation. I don't know if it's a task that you've got to perform. I don't know what it is. But I'm telling you that it's time to just give thanks and worship over it. It's time to say, you know what, God, I know that you've got this situation in hand. If you have the Holy Ghost, you sure enough better understand that you have all the promise of God. You've been promised all the power that you need to get through the situation. You have every tool at your disposal. If you don't have the Holy Ghost in this place tonight, understand that it is available to you. Do not leave this place without it. Do not walk out those doors without having the promise and the power. Don't go into your situation tomorrow not knowing how it's going to turn out. Yes, God is a good God. And God did a lot of things for me before I prayed through. But I'm telling you, my life was nothing like it was after I got the Holy Ghost. It's nothing like it was. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be long-winded tonight, not any more than I already have been. But I think it would be a good idea tonight if we would all examine our situation. I think we all need to take a long look into our life and say, you know what? I've got a lot to be thankful for. I've got the Holy Ghost, and I've been able to get through this situation and this situation and this situation. I know it looks bad. I know it looks like there's destruction on the eve. I don't have the answer of how this is going to come about. You know what? You may be on the third day of a three-day fast and have a horse parked on top of you, but I'm telling you that the answer is coming. And I'm telling you that the solution is far better than where you are today. No matter what your situation is, says tomorrow is better living under the promise. And that's all the more reason to be under that promise. Don't go out that door without being in that promise. Don't go out that door uncertain of what's going to happen. Don't go out that door not knowing the Lord. Don't go out that door depending on many things. Don't go out that door thinking that you'll rely on your finances. It's time that you know the Lord. Amen. As she plays, I'm just going to ask that all the saints would come and just spend some time.